We call this meeting of the Little Calumet River Basin Development Commission to order for Wednesday, November 17th, 2021. Please set your phones on stun and stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, which stands
one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Lambert, nice to see you. Please call roll.
Present.
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 Ron Ware, absent. Robert Oshie.
Here.
Baker.
Present. All right, we have a quorum. Next up is the approval of the minutes from the meeting on October 20th, 2021. Any motions, modifications? What say you?
Mr. Chair, I make the motion to approve the minutes from October 20th, 2021 as presented.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Can we have a second? Pick one, Mrs. Lambert. Any discussion? Either or none, we get to do the new rules and do a roll call, please.
Yes.
Yes.
Dick Casalanos.
Yes.
Robert Oshie.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. Next up is the chairman's report. Thanks for coming out. I mean, nasty, and it's getting to the season, but this is still a $275 million man-made project that if you don't do the maintenance and do the things that are required, things that are up on the board from September 2008 are what the community gets to deal with. Mrs. Lambert does a great job of bringing those up, to which I appreciate, but it helps set the tone and why we do this and the premise of why we're taking the folks' money and trying to make sure that something like that doesn't happen again. This is an economic development project. As we get that thing certified and keep that certified as part of that system, every year it keeps 14,000 band parcels-ish.
Yes.
From having to pay mandatory flood insurance to the tune of about $4 million a year, every year. So we're better prepared, as it relates to working with the communities and making this viable and have ownership for everybody involved, not only along the project parameters, but also throughout the watershed. So that's a good thing, my opinion. That's enough. So next up will be the finance report, which is paying the bills. We need a motion about the November claims.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we approve the November claims in the amount of $429,765.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Any discussion about the bills? Mr. Repe, you want to bring light to anything in particular?
Good evening. Just a couple would be the reimbursements that we make to the communities, especially Hammond Sanitary District, $182,000, and Town of Highland for $42,000. Those were both reimbursements that we entered into agreements. So long as they their pump stations passed inspections, we would reimburse them the cost of about $13,000 per station that they do. That's why that you are coming out. You saw the resolution. It's 2016 that was first passed. So that allows them to keep making sure that people don't pay flood insurance, and when it does rain, the system is working. Austin equipment for $56,695 was for the last, for the modification for the Hart's Ditch levee. If you remember, I know you do, that Hart's Ditch was not built correctly. It was overbuilt on the park side and not on the residential side. So we decided to fix that so that now the overflow shall occur into Wicker Park and not into the residents the way it was previously.
Who built that, by the way?
Not us.
Please answer the question, Mr. Repe.
It was designed and engineered by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. A couple others, 47 Wiltshire, taking out the sediment removal for the Calhoun Ditch. We still, by the way, have to do some overseeding in there. We have to do some overseeding at Lake Station at the Rock Ripple before hopefully it freezes. So that's on the agenda of things to do. And then there are some miscellaneous gate inspections and repairs, and we're doing some mowing. Actually, the mowing is in its final cycle right as we speak today or this week. So we know North Township participated in a tree program for $10,000. We have a couple other communities that are going to be doing that as well, but they have not submitted their claims yet, so expect that to be in the December pile. Other than that, I'd be happy to answer the HWC Engineering 7898 or 7989. They're putting together a permit right now to submit to IDEM in order for us to get a permit. They say we need that no one else believes, but we need to go do it because we like to be good corporate citizens, and so that we can build that without any interruption.
Are there any questions for Mr. Repay about the bills? Broadnecks, you're good. Everybody's good. Got a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Benzetti.
Yes.
Anthony Broadnecks.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Robert
Ochi. Yes.
Levon.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. Moving right along. Mr. Repay, what's going on out there?
Well, the most important thing, or the thing that probably will happen to us first, is the Kennedy Avenue Bridge. We were anticipating it to be in an earmark in the transportation bill that the federal government passed. It didn't make it earmark. My understanding is it got grouped in and put to the local planning organization. They will get the money, and then we have to apply from them for that money to build Kennedy Avenue. But I understand it's we have a good chance of getting that, and that'd be a great thing for this project, because Kennedy Avenue is the second lowest area that we have to close during a high rain event, and it has about 17,000 vehicles that go over it. And so leaving that open during a high rain event is a good thing for us, so we'll be working on that over the wintertime. I've already touched sort of on the natural spring and where that's at. That was moved to the spring as well for its construction. The Griffith Golf Course levee is something that we're also working on to design to ensure that more people in Griffith will be removed, or actually Griffith / unincorporated Lake County from the flood insurance program. We're going to do some walking trail maintenance work as far as setting it up to go in the spring. And then we're constantly doing some clearing and snagging, and especially we're doing some cutting off the levee in Munster, in Hammond, in parts of Highland.
Why is cutting it off?
Well, because we can't have trees within 15 feet of the total levee. And someone told me that it's best to do that in the fall or the spring before the leaves start growing. It's really easy, and it doesn't look as obtrusive as it is. Although we are getting phone calls, it's something that we have to do because our...
Well, maybe the municipalities along those parts can participate in the Treeper program to plant new trees outside of the total levee. How's that?
And Munster is.
That's an outstanding idea. I had a question going back to Griffith. Mm-hmm. Is that a project that can go to NERPC as well and help them do that? I mean, that intersection, I come down Klein, at that intersection is awful, you know, and that ties into the rookery. That might be a good thing to take a look at as far as getting that done. And maybe throw at NERPC the train tracks that are on the east side there and coming up with some kind of a solution to help with that as well.
And once we get it designed for the Griffith levee, that would be possible, but the railroad tracks have to be designed. So since we don't have it designed, it'd be an interesting ask for the Griffith Golf Course levee to see if that would be considered acceptable under the transportation, because there are funds for levees that were put in for designation. There's a huge bill.
Okay.
$20 trillion.
Anything for me? Is that it? I'm sorry.
That's it.
Anything else for you, gentlemen, for Mr. Repay? Wow. Working on the record.
The Hammond Sanitary District, we set aside some money for them 4 years ago.
Correct.
More
$150,000.
And they haven't touched it because I know it was only for physical improvement, not land acquisition. What is the status of that combined sewer overflow, the land acquisition? And
we put them on the clock. We put them on the clock.
But what's the timeline from now? Do you have any idea?
I haven't gotten a response. We said I gave them a 90 days they need to use it or they lose it. So I don't know, maybe they're changed, maybe the whole dynamic.
They acquired all the properties that they need?
I don't think so, because it was supposed to go all the way to Chestnut, and Chestnut is 3 or 4 blocks away. Having seen the power poles driving by there, I see power poles there, so I think there may be a change of their thought process, but they haven't told us as to what they're doing. I've heard rumors of what they want to do.
You know, and I agree with you, Tom. I mean, having to do with this timing, that's why we were talking at the work study about having, you know, that application and the contract be done, kind of have some kind of terms in there that they have to draw on those. So we could use that money elsewhere as opposed to just holding it for their reserve.
Yeah, they were told, they were given 90 days. So I think their time expires sometime in February, late February.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions for Mr. Rebay? There are none. Next up is other issues, new business.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to advertise and accept proposals to license up to approximately 69 acres of land at a location of 2400 35th Street in Gary, Indiana. All proposals shall be sealed and delivered to the Little Calumet River Basin Development Commission at 900 Ridge Road, Suite H, Munster, Indiana, no later than 12 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time, February 16th, 2022. Proposals shall be opened and taken under advisement later that evening at the regularly scheduled Little Calumet River Basin Development Commission meeting at 6 p.m.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And there's a second discussion. Mr. Repay.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
The address is 2435 35th Street instead of 24 West 35th Avenue.
Yes. Good clarification.
Stand for it.
I'm sure you noticed Dan always calls the streets.
Do we have to redo all of that thing because of the street and avenue thing?
No.
Stand for it. There's a motion and a second. Mr. Is there anything else?
No.
No.
I showed the screen because I want to see it. It doesn't matter.
So this is the area here that we're talking about, this L-shaped area. This is the levee just north. They call it, you know, there's a lot of...
Show the expressway, gang, because okay. Nobody's going to be able to know where that is.
So you want to lose, I wanna lose the ish. There's the expressway, if it gives you some...
That's Grant Street, south of the Borman. Those are the two big truck stops that are south of the Borman on Grant. So this property is south of whatever the truck stop is on the west side of Grant.
That's Lowe's. So we're talking about this particular property that sort of makes the L, approximately 69 acres outside the levee. Currently, we... lease it year to year to a farmer who farms it, and we get approximately $8,000 to $10,000, depending on his yield for that year. The thought is to see if there is any interest in a larger operation to possibly locate there, so long as they are, I guess, compliant with city and state regulations as to what they would like to do. I guess that's the best thing to do. The Village Shopping Center, which is where I used to go all the time for hot dogs.
We're in safety,
is right here. I love the hot dog there.
Whatever. All right, so there's a motion and a second. Is any discussion on this?
I think criteria-wise, you know, the language that's in the proposal is pretty clear. I think it makes it pretty clear, you know, we don't want any egregious activity in terms of development. Also, this actually, you know, a reflection of the footprint of progress, technology, agriculture, something of that nature in the city and for the region.
So, and I agree. And part of what this is just to put it out there, look, just see proposals that come in from the marketplace. We're not going to have to act on them. We're not going to have to go through a certain timeline with those. It's something that'll be based upon what those read and how it fits into what's going on at this location. One of the premise of not having done this previously is it's going to draw a lot of attention, and it'll be an interesting dynamic as how that moves. I'm hopeful that there's a win-win out there for everybody, but this is just to be able to bring that information in. We'll do it through a third party, the Lake
County Economic Alliance.
Economic Alliance.
And just so the people listening, or if, I don't know if anyone's on the knowing that the Army Corps missed another meeting. Wow, shocking. I mean, I'm speechless. But anyways, so if anyone wants to know how to submit a proposal, that information will be on our website. So any interested parties will be there as to what and how to put together that document.
And just so everybody knows, for the record, the commission and in turn the people that give us their payment have no financial obligation or interest in this at all. No funds are going to be used from our bank to anybody that proposes to develop the site. No due diligence, no fees, no infrastructure would ever be paid by the commission.
All right, so there's any other discussion? There's a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Yes.
Anthony Brodnick.
Yes.
Dave Castellano.
Yes.
Robert Oshie.
Yes.
Lamont Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. Moving right along, statements to the board from the floor, my favorite part. If you'd like to help us with this, please come up to the microphone, state your name and address for the record. Thanks for coming out.
Thank you for allowing me to speak. My name is Ed Hero, 27.
Mr. Hero, could you talk into the microphone, please? I don't know if it's on. Hello, hello. Got to do the test. Pretend we're on the radio.
Thank you for allowing me to speak. My name is Ed Hero, 2785 Wyoming Street, Lake Station, Indiana. This concerns the Rock Riffle. In a news article about the Rock Riffle ribbon cutting ceremony, the mayor of Lake Station was quoted in the paper that he expects the project will reduce flood insurance costs for nearby residents. Well, we expected in the neighborhood that when the berm was built, that the mandatory flood insurance requirement may be waived. That the berm itself would remove our homes from a FEMA designated special flood hazard area. After the Rock Riffle cutting ceremony, I was having a conversation with two little Cal commissioners. I was speaking to Dave Castellanos and another member, which I didn't catch his name. And we were looking down off the top, and I put in a question. When the berm is put in, the berm that's supposed to be put there to protect our homes, how was the access going to be to the Rock Riffle? There's a parking lot there, and then there's the Rock Riffle. Would all of that be behind the berm? And the gentleman told me that the berm was not going to be built. He told me that the cost, and I'm paraphrasing here, and I repeated it after he said it, that the cost of building the berm would exceed the value of the homes that it would protect. And again, I repeated what I heard, and it was affirmed. You know, that's what he said. Since the berm won't be built, why would FEMA reduce flood insurance requirements the way that the mayor said that they would? No berm, why would the mayor say that?
So is the premise, and Yeah, because the question, what I'm hearing is, are you coming out, if you live in that neighborhood, correct? Are you coming out of having to pay mandatory flood insurance?
I am not. I cannot take a loan without paying.
Correct. You're right. And what happens when the certification comes through is that that line item on your mortgage for mandatory flood insurance would be removed as long as the system is certified. And that's a process because there's a bunch of folks that have to go through it. But Mr. Repay, can you lend any value to the discussion as it relates to how that process would work regarding what's going on at that location?
Well, they'd have to apply for a LOMAR, which is a letter of map revision, very similar to other communities. Gary's doing it right now. But I think the issue, and I don't know the whole context of the conversation you had, but I think the issue with not getting it removed was more so the infrastructure that was on the land side of the berm that wouldn't allow for the water to drain into the berm. The berm that sits in front of Mr. Hero's house is more of a berm to protect people from trespassing on his property and also destroying and going down there doing things that they shouldn't be. Now, I get it, we're not going to be able to solve everyone, but to his flood insurance question, Lake Station would have to apply for a LOMAR and see if that gets approved.
But they would do that for everybody in that location.
Yeah, throughout that.
So they should do it from the whole neighborhood. Okay.
Well, they would do it from a section.
Yes, sir.
How could they request that if there's no berm?
You can do it based on elevation as well. Elevation can dictate whether you are out or not out. For instance, there are situations, individual homes, I know Lori's here off of Forest Avenue, where when they do an overlay, they believe that that house is in the flood zone, but when they actually do the survey points for elevation, that elevation is greater than the 100-year flood elevation. I don't think that you're going to be removed, my personal belief, but if he wants to do the
that's not something that we will, you know, have that control over. That goes through FEMA and the Corps, doesn't it?
The Corps starts it, says that they agree with it, and then FEMA will then agree.
That's the Fed. So, I mean, you know, we could help with the conversation with the city as it relates to what their goals are, but it sometimes it's just an engineering thing, and, you know, it's your cool river view.
I don't know what to say. I thought that you would be saying that because you built the rock riffle and lowered the elevation of the river, that the mayor was going to request to FEMA to get us taken out of the floodway. So
he may.
I like that idea. And I think that's the next conversation, sir. It's just trying to get to that point with the mayor that, you know, because I really didn't have privy to those conversations. So I didn't know that. So let's see what we can do, and we'll try to help out the best we can.
Well, so now this brings up the question.
Is that okay? That so we help the best we can?
You help the best we can. And now we need to answer the question. If the berm's never going to be built.
So you're referring to the levee, not a berm.
There was a
levee designed for that area. And then
the problem is, can you clarify?
The problem is the interior drainage on the land side that if you built that levee, berm, whatever you want to call it, and ran it for your sake, we'll just say we'll run it down Wyoming, you will get flooded, not from the river going over the top of the levee or berm, you will get flooded from the water coming into that area, not able to get into the river. So you'll be flooded by the land side.
Surface water.
Which is similar to what happens to you today and the neighbor to the north, is the water just backs up, can't get into the river, and it stacks up and goes through all the different manholes that are in your backyard, everyone else's backyard in that area.
Okay, my heart is...
One more question, sir, right? This is all new for us.
I'll be here afterwards. Right. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, the inundation on the land side into the vent stretches multiple blocks east.
Now, my father said that. He died in 1980. He said that they never could build a berm. It was
that's what the monies that we spent on the engineering aspect of the project determined. It would be impossible to protect anybody with given the current infrastructure of Lake Station by building the levee. If you guys wanted to completely redo all of the sewers and pump stations, because everything there is so undersized, it can't physically get the water out fast enough to prevent you from being inundated on the land side, not from the
right. We're the lowest spot.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, 27th of Wyoming is the lowest spot of that entire neighborhood, and I couldn't go back past Benton. It's past I want to say it's past Clay. Everything from Clay drains to that corner. So eventually, when the river is up high enough, it doesn't have enough push to push through.
Is that available on our website, that study, that engineering study?
I don't know, but I could give it to them.
Right. Showing the inundation at different events.
I'll email it to you.
The last study that I read had to do with attaching the, I'm going to say bandit, you always said call it a berm, not a levee, but attaching the levee to Liverpool Road. And in that engineering study, there was a question of actually closing the neighborhood off of the Liverpool Road. And he started speaking about some elevations that I never heard of. I mean, we're usually in the 590 numbers, and he started talking in the 600s, and he started talking about 2 feet of freeboard. And in boating, we always consider that the distance from the water to the top of the rail. That's a rather large.
And we're just going to go back to what Commissioner Gazecki said. We could build it to 602, which is what they were estimated to be. The problem was, after study after study, after looking at the infrastructure going back to the east, the water couldn't make it there. You would get flooded from your neighbors, not from the river. So I could, me, not me personally, if the commission could build a levee 602, and you'd be perfectly dry from the river coming over, but we wouldn't be able to stop the water from pooling at 27th and Wyoming, which is where you're at.
Yeah, or even higher.
Yeah.
If there was a big flood. Like,
correct.
Like going.
So the thought process then becomes, because we lowered, or it's actually DNR sort of lowered it, the dam a foot and a half, and that's less water that is held upstream, more capacity. So during these larger rain events that we've had, you don't see it coming out of the channel and stays in the channel. Now, that's why in the future, maybe the mayor could then submit a LOMAR and say, because of these values and these rain events, we can show you that the water is lower. But not right now. I wouldn't say there's enough data to support that.
All right, thank you very much.
Mr. Hero, 1 second. What do you think about the project anyway?
I think that the project itself looks like you're in Yellowstone.
Thank you.
You know, it's like a park.
Because from what I used to see, it was.
But I think I mentioned, and so did Mr. Gonzalez mention, that removing all those trees and all of the properties that were eminent domain definitely impacted the neighborhood, definitely impacted my property.
Right.
And
I know he was really happy about it. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Anybody else? Yes, sir.
Gary Lee, 5997 West 30th. I wanted to thank Dan for coming out and walking the ditch between Calhoun and Colfax Street. And I wanted to ask, what are we going to do going forward? There's some issues and problems there. I know Dan mentioned a vault.
You mentioned a vault.
Yeah. Basically, I want to know, where do we go from here? How do we go forward? How do we fix the problem? Because if there's a definite issue there with seepage. It sucks water in from the Little Calumet River. And I mean, you can look at the two banks. You can look at the north bank and you can look at the south bank, east to west or west to east. And you will notice that the south bank is probably 3 foot lower than the north bank. I had a conversation with Dave. He mentioned to me on the way over here that he noticed that where he plants his garden is sinking on the north bank. So we have an issue with the sand, the sugar sand. The water brings the sugar sand out from the bottom, and both of the banks, that ditch, are collapsing. So I want to know what we can do going forward. Does anybody have any ideas? What can we do? I mean, to me, other than the cost, the vault system where it would tie in and be just like the other side of Calhoun would be the best solution for the problem. Once you're done, you never have to come back. You know, we'll mow it. You never have to have anybody come in there say anything about the frag mine, because we'll guard, we'll mow it. Probably what should have been done to begin with. But the Army Corps said, no, too costly. So
is this part of the budget that's inspected?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Is this a part of the inspection? These levies that he's
It's not a levy. He doesn't have a levy. He has it's landside drainage is what.
Did the Corps build it?
Yes. So
is it part of the inspection when they go in there?
It's a part of the Burr Street inspection that they check to make sure that water's flowing. I'm gonna get myself all discombobulated here. Here we go. So he's talking, all right, so here's a vault here, and this ultimately runs into Burr Street. You know, our pump station is right here. So it comes in and dumps in. He's talking right now, this whole area is a concrete pad that's
landside drainage.
Yeah. So, and believe it or not, we had a great walk. We found plenty of Dave's golf balls that he ever played over. That were located in there. And it actually, and this is unbeknownst to me, he believes, and I haven't confirmed it yet, that Klein Avenue interchange off of 94 drains into this. I have no reason to disbelieve. But so this was all the area that was cleaned back into.
Is it supposed to be wet?
Into here. No, it's supposed to, I mean, it's, I don't want to say it's supposed to be dry, but it's supposed to always drain the water that's in.
That's why the concrete's there.
The area, right. I mean, it's an open drainage system. I don't think there's sewers in that immediate area. So it's supposed to drain down into the vault. What Mr. Lee's suggesting.
Okay, wait, before, but yeah. The suggestion is,
yeah.
If that's what it's designed for, sir, is it not working the way it's supposed to? Is that what you're saying? It's starting to collapse, or just is it filling up with sediment?
If you look at it from the standpoint that that's a drainage ditch, it works fantastic.
Okay.
If you look at it from the standpoint that it's part of my backyard, part of my property, you would say, wait a minute. You know, there is an issue. There is an issue with on the south bank where it's probably 2 to 3 foot lower than the north bank. The water actually comes in, I think, from the old Calumet River. And because it's passing through sugar sand, you can look and you can see where it's mined sand into the ditch. Both sides.
The side is weeping in some places. I'm not going to say so. I mean, I don't have an exact number of places, and you would be able to see it from here anyways, but you could see it.
Sand's in the drainage ditch.
Areas.
Yeah. And
the issue, if you want to look at it, this is Dave's property, right? So
what do you think about that engineer? We got a lot of this.
He owns this side of the ditch as well. And you can go all the way down. So basically they took the ditch and ran it through the backside of their yards. That was over, if you remember, the whole issue of getting access. Yeah. So this is now what the issue is, and what I believe they're saying, and I've seen it, this area weeps, so it causes the sand and the sediment. I mean, the short-term goal is to have people go in there and make sure this is cut down so we can try to stabilize the bank. That's why I mentioned overseeding with some grass. Hopefully that works. I don't have a guarantee. I know there's some thoughts that it won't work, but I'm willing to try. And so that this becomes less dirt and more green, like to lack of a better, because before this had all filled in because all the sediment that was in there, the phragmites and everything else were growing in there. So it would stop the water, it wouldn't flow as well, and so then they just perpetuated a problem.
Is that the same kind of sand we're seeing at Kennedy?
No.
Or what you pulled out of under Indianapolis?
I mean, it's sand. Mr. Lee calls it sugar sand. I know he has a reason why he does. I don't know.
It's like at the beach in Florida.
You can see it. You can see it coming out, but it's not. The sand that's at Kennedy is coming from a source someplace else. This is coming from underneath the ground. And I'm not a biologist.
Right. Well, it was the lake at some point. Yeah. All I can tell you, Mr. Lee, is that we'll look at it. We'll try to track and come up with some ideas because it's dealing with the Army Corps of Engineers. And
I understand that. But like I said, I just, you know, I want to thank Dan and I want to bring that up because, you know, it needs some attention. It needs something done going forward.
Yeah, and I agree. If there's sand in there, that's weird.
Is the vault itself how deep?
It's a technical term.
What's that?
How deep is the vault?
it goes into this little chamber here and then drops down. I'm not sure the distances, but it falls. But
is it clear of obstruction or clear of sand or backfill? I mean, if it's been washing sand, maybe the culvert between that wherever it's supposed to go up to the east is clogged up and it's not drained properly.
It flows, but it's, and I hate to say it's weird, but the water is coming from where the train tracks are here. It's like it's working its way this way. It's not that the water isn't flowing to where it needs to, and our Burr Street station is receiving it. It's just water is like it's
a lot of water. It's a drainage ditch.
There's just water coming from under the tracks.
I think that we do there is going to involve the railroad, isn't it? Any maintenance work on that? Where's the line where the railroad doesn't show up? Is it on the cut line? On that side, I'm talking about on the north side.
Put your layers
on. Yeah, that's what I'm doing right now. So, like, so here is, put you here. Dave's property is right here. Sorry, Dave.
All right, so that's the line for the railroad. There's the railroad.
Yeah, that's the railroad. Part. So
anytime we do anything other than tearing up your argument on that side, it's going to involve the railroad. Another fun.
But what Mr. Lee is suggesting is if you put a vault down the middle, you can just put dirt over the top of it, and he can get to the south part of his land. I know I'm highlighting Dave's.
Instead of an open ditch.
I know I'm highlighting Dave's property.
It's a closed ditch.
It's all the same down here.
Over. Cut a vault.
Dan, how many feet is it from the railroad? Have you idea?
From where to, from the railroad to where?
To the wall of the ditch.
I own 15 foot.
So 15 feet.
15 feet there, and it's probably 25 or 30 foot to the bottom of the concrete pad that's there. So that would be the center of the vault that's there. That vault is about 6 foot deep.
Yeah, under the wall, from what I understand, in Indiana, railroad's got to at least take all 50 feet each side. That might be a problem. 50 feet.
Yeah, they own 50 feet from their main trunk, and that 50 feet ends right there on that line. That's where their 50 feet ends. In other words, their embankment comes down to my 15 feet. So there's 15 feet there, and that's what they worked off of when they cleaned the ditch out. Now, I walked it today. There's so much algae and mold going in there that I don't see how you're ever going to solve the silting problem, because the algae and the mold that's growing in there right now. I cleaned the gray out on the vault there today, so the water would drain. It just constantly plugs the center of that ditch up. It's just like everything is going against the water flowing through there properly. So, and like I said, I wanted to ask, hey, what can we do?
Like I said earlier, if you got a railroad involved, you got a big headache.
Yeah.
We got to be very careful there. Yeah.
That's a Wolverine pipeline easement too.
Yeah.
So there's a Wolverine pipeline there as well. But Army Corps put the ditch in there, so they dug it all out. So
you got to have permission.
So as not to pick on Dave, I put Mr. Lee's property up now. So
yeah.
Okay.
All right. We're going to look at it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else? That's a good one. Went once, went twice. Next meeting is on December, believe it or not. It's December. December 15th. Check the website. Let's go down the line and do the thing. Mr. Wicklin, how are you?
Great, thanks. Nothing to add.
Best of luck this week.
Thank you.
Mr. OG, wishing everyone a happy Thanksgiving next week. Thanks for everyone to come out. So. Mr. Whitaker.
Same thing. Thanks for everyone for coming out. Best wishes during the holiday, and everybody stay safe.
Mr. Gustecki.
I would echo Mr. Whitaker's comments. Thank you.
Mr. Broad next.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to everyone. And thank you, Jody, for making the audio work this month. This is fantastic. Good to be able to participate.
Just wishing everybody a happy Thanksgiving and be safe out there. That's it. Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for coming out. We'll see you next month. We'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
And a second. I know there's no discussion, Mrs. Lambert, but we have to do a roll call vote because the government says I have to do that.
Tom Vecchi?
Yes.
Anthony Brodnick?
Yes.
Dave Castellano?
Yes.
Robert Ritchie?
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker?
Yes.
William Baker?
Yes. Thanks, everybody.